In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin, and we are in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, looking at the laws of the land. And we've been focusing on dignity toward authority. That is both God and rulers. We start with verse 28, "You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people." And let me tell you, that's an area we all need to be sensitive to and make sure we're obedient to. And then we continued on with verse 29, which says, "You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices, the firstborn of your sons you shall give to me, because these are the requirements of the covenant between God and Israel." And then in verse 30, we're picking up here, "Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days, and on the eighth day, you shall give it to me." Now, all these commands are to show dignity and respect to the authority, God. Because he is the one who saved this people. He's the one who is the king over the Israelites. Now, why 7 days? I think reflecting the first week of creation. Circumcision is also done on the eighth day, allowing for a full week to pass as well. Leviticus 22:27, "When a bull or sheep or a goat is born, it shall be 7 days with its mother. And from the eighth day and thereafter, it shall be accepted as an offering made by fire to the Lord." Now, there's wisdom behind all this from a animal standpoint, just like there is some wisdom for circumcising a male on the eighth day. Genesis 17:12, "He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant." Now, I don't know if you know this little scientific fact, but when it comes to male circumcision, on the eighth day, the body actually has an overabundance of the vitamin K, which is necessary for blood clotting. Now, today, they circumcise the boys right away, unless they're Jewish, they'll wait 8 days. And before they do that, they inject a vitamin K into the system so that they can circumcise earlier. But there's wisdom. God understands the body. He made it. And so when we see these 7 days, it's not only to reflect the creation week, but it's also recognizing that there are certain biological changes happening, and therefore we have to wait for the eighth day. Now, continuing on, verse 31, "And you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs." In other words, don't eat the roadkill, men and women. Leviticus 17:15, "And every person who eats what died naturally or what was torn by beasts, whether it is a native of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes, bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. Then he shall be clean." So this made someone ritually unclean. Now, there's two primary concerns. Unclean animals may have been involved, making them ritually unclean, and eating the blood of a beast is forbidden. So let's review. These commands, as I said earlier, are exceptional cases and permit the judges to reason from them in similar situations. So when you read these, you're like, boy, they seem kind of a little odd and very specific, but they're designed to reason from. These are the exceptional cases, and from the exceptional, you can reason for all the less exceptional cases. Now, the implication is that these laws were designed. Let's not lose sight of this. As harsh as some of these laws are and their consequences, they're designed to protect the individual. And then by protecting the individual, we're protecting the community from the judgment of God. And when you protect all the communities, you protect the nation as a whole. And this is the problem we face today. There's a breakdown of sin at the individual, community, and now the national level. It's amazing that God has not judged America. We are no different than the land of Canaan, the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God is patient. But that patience does run out at some point in time. But while God is being patient, there is time for repentance. There is time to turn from sin and cry out to God and ask for forgiveness, to trust in his son Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Because it's only a matter of time before judgment will come. It might come individually. It might come to a community. It may even come to the whole nation. See, these laws express how to love God and love others. They are key to genuine, loving, interpersonal relationships. And it's a wonderful way to wrap up chapter 22 because these laws were designed to help. They were designed to hinder, but not hinder love, hinder sin in the nation. Let's move to chapter 23 and begin this journey through the laws. Now, chapter 23 continues with some more laws. Now, these laws in this chapter organized in threes, okay? It starts off in chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, about being a just witness, okay? And there's three parts of this law. So let me go ahead and read 23, 1, 2, and 3 so you can hear the triad, and then we'll go and break down each one. So verse 1, chapter 23, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Verse 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. And then verse 3, you shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. Now let's review these. And I think as you're listening to this, you're going, boy, oh boy, we've got a problem in our country. People are doing this very thing, circulating false reports, putting their hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Just look at how often the crowds go crazy in a community when there's a shooting, and how quickly violence spreads, and innocent people are having their business and homes destroyed by this violence. Now, the word circulate means to lift up, carry off, and raise up. You see the idea here? You're taking this lie and you're spreading it around. False report, worthless hearsay, groundless. In other words, it's a lie. And anyone who's been on the internet for any time realizes how much false information is on the internet. Unrighteous. That word unrighteous means Hamas. It means a violent witness. And you've heard of that term, the Hamas in Israel, who are a violent group against Israel. Put your hand. It means to set in place, cause to occur, to be part of a plan to lie. The emphasis here is on the small group. So this is a band of individuals who get together and they lie and they join with other wicked people to be an unrighteous witness, to stir up the emotions, to cause an outcry. And as a result, justice is lost and injustice is served. Now let's continue with verse 2. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. I wish that was on the news. I wish that came from our presidents, from the Oval Office, because that's exactly what has happened over the last couple of years. Nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Now, this idea of turn aside means to deceive, to persuade in a way that moves people away from truth and towards a lie. And the word pervert means nata, means to bend or stretch. We use that expression today, to bend the truth, to stretch what was said. Now contrast this with the righteousness, truth, justice, which means a godly decision, an equity, fairness. That comes out of Proverbs 2:8. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. You see the great contrast here and what the Lord is doing through these laws? He's trying to keep Israel on the track of justice and truth and equity. But wicked men and wicked ways will bring about evil and lies and pervert justice. And in the end, many are hurt in the process. And this is a simple visual here. Bent is unjust versus straight, which is just. The progression in these passages moves from the individual to a group. You, then the wicked, then the crowd. And that's exactly how this cancer of sin spreads. The integrity to settle a matter of conflict is rooted in a faithful testimony. Without reliable witnesses, justice is corrupted, and the truth is hidden and sometimes even lost. Corruption always begins when that first person, a single individual, fails to tell the truth. The scriptures, however, recognize that a small group can conspire. Furthermore, justice can be impaired when a large crowd, whose purpose is evil, puts pressure on the judicial process. Interesting, God reveals the danger of the kind of testimony that persuades to pervert justice. This passage is so relevant today. These truths matter. Proverbs 6:16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Now look at this list. This is exactly how it spirals out of control. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. There it is. There is the proverbial wisdom of what God hates and what is an abomination to him. Psalm 27:11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Because of my enemies, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see this wonderful balance and tension. We live in a simple world. Justice is not always served, but we wait on the Lord. Justice is really ultimately decided in the end in two places. One, at the cross of Calvary for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or it's done at the great white throne judgment, when all the books of all the deeds of all the people are open and reviewed. Justice will come. That day of court is inevitable. But we have to wait on God for that time. And that's not always easy. Sometimes we suffer injustice. Now, the New Testament, Ephesians 4:25, therefore putting away lying. Yes, Christian, we are not to lie. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So the question is, do you see this kind of behavior today? How has the press, the internet, individuals, crowds, mobs helped or hurt the cause of justice? Have you participated in something that led to an injustice? Or are you the one who's a firewall, speaking to others and calling them out and saying, that's not true? That's a perversion. You're persuading others to do things that are sinful and harmful and hurtful to others who have no part in this. May you stand as a righteous light, warning others and calling others to trust and wait on the Lord, and for the process to hopefully work its way where true justice is finally resolved. Well, we're out of time, but may you continue to grow in godliness and be the man of God or a godly woman who is a true teller who upholds justice, equity, and fairness to all those that you encounter.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.